Welcome, welcome to the Sharp 600 brought to you by Covers.com. As always, I am Joe Fortenbaugh. Thank you so much for spending some of your time with us today. We greatly appreciate it as we get set to embark on episode 85. Speaking of embark, we get set to embark on another Major League Baseball season. It is hard to fathom, but opening day is just over a week away as of the time of this podcast. So who better to bring on than one of our all-time favorites? He's one of my best friends from Las Vegas. His name is Gil Alexander. You can catch him on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, as well as at a variety of other outlets, which we'll lay out both in the bio to this podcast and later on in this podcast. Basically, Gil is coming on to let you know which teams to target for your season win totals, which teams to avoid, a couple potential futures you might like, and a big nugget on a certain NL Cy Young candidate that is currently priced at very reasonable odds. I'll be back sometime in the very near future to share with you my favorite season win total plays, but for right now, let's take it away with Gil Alexander.
Crisco, Bardol, Vagisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball.
One of my absolute oldest friends in the business. You can catch him as a host for the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You can also catch him hosting the wildly popular Beating the Book podcast. He's on Twitter at Beating the Book. Ladies and gentlemen, the legendary Gil Alexander joining us here on the Sharp 600.
Wow.
Let me start with something, buddy. I don't think anyone in media has a better gig than you'd have with Jay Rude sitting out poolside at the Aria with Mai Tais as you talk about sports betting. That is something else.
You noticed, huh? That's your boy Dave Farah. Dave Farah doing the production on that. We have a ball out there. And Jay Rude, by the way, for those who don't know, the greatest overlord of sports books in Vegas. He's a good dude. Real sharp guy.
VP of Racing Sports at MGM. You guys are doing that, what, once a week? And, yeah, you mentioned Farah and Matt Brown. I've known those guys for a while. It's like we're all connected. Anybody who has any sort of route tied down in Vegas knows everybody else. It is an amazing community.
It's true. It's a small fraternity. And, you know, in every little fraternity, there's the good ones and there's the bad ones. So we like to stick with the good ones.
All right. I have long maintained that you and the legendary Joe Pita are the two best baseball minds in the business when it comes to all things baseball betting. However, Joe Pita on sabbatical this season, he's writing a golf book. I'm trying to figure out what's going on here.
Yeah, he is. And I'm happy to play second fiddle to Joe, by the way. Joe is the best. No question about it. Joe is taking a sabbatical to do a golf book. Yes, golf analytics, much like he had made it his life's mission to uncover some, you know, sort of untapped baseball metrics that could be exploited betting-wise. He is going to do the same for golf. He sort of shared some with me off the record. I'm not allowed to say some, but really interesting stuff. And if you know Joe, it is going to be good, I promise.
I've always wondered why he shared any of his information. To be honest, he's here in the Bay Area. He's been a guest on the podcast before. He came on right before the baseball playoffs started last year. He called every single series how it was going to play out. Then he called the champion. I mean, the dude hits at such a ridiculous percentage. I've always been shocked that he's been so willing to come out with a lot of that info.
Yeah, that is true. But, you know, a lot of people and you know, even the best gamblers, some of the best gamblers will say they like sharing information, whether it's Rufus Peabody, whether it's Dr. Bob. You know, a lot of people, Bill Krakenberger, a lot of people like teaching the craft also without, you know, giving away the greatest secrets of them all. I think there's stuff to be shared that doesn't ruin your edge. And I think Joe comes from that perspective. By the way, Joe's a Wall Street guy. There is so much more in this business that Joe could really improve on. He's an untapped source of talent in many ways.
All right, so let's get into the 2018 MLB season. Opening day is right around the corner. Before we talk about specific teams and futures, metrics and analytics, what are some of the key pieces of information that you pour through this time of year as you get set for the upcoming season?
Well, sort of the broad thing for season wins has to do with starting, and I'm not sure this is exactly what you meant for me to go to, but with season wins, you're looking at what the record was last year, but based on is it commensurate with what they actually deserve? So in other words, there's the Pythagorean theorem, Bill James, tried and true formula of runs produced and runs prevented, and what your record ought to be based on that. than there is through the lens of base runs, or as Joe in recent years sort of dubbed it, cluster luck, the fortune or good fortune or poor fortune of the sequencing of hits. In other words, the same four events, home run, single, 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 strikeout, 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 those events, if turned on its head, can produce one run or four runs. And so there's an expected amount of runs produced based on a sequencing of events. Some teams are fortunate one year, some teams are unfortunate, both offensively and defensively. So sometimes you have to start from a base that is not at all what the actual record was the previous year. So that's, I think, where you start. You also have to look at one run and extra inning records from a previous year and see did teams get the best of that or not, because those one would expect to regress to a mean as well.
How do you factor in two big trends that have been emerging in baseball as of late? Number one, the absolute power surge we're seeing on behalf of guys like Giancarlo Stanton, Aaron Judge. Home runs are at an all-time high. And then in the same vein, the theory behind bullpenning, teams taking their starter only so far, maybe two times through the rotation, and then turning it over to their bullpen. We saw the Dodgers do this in the playoffs last year. What do those two trends mean to you? How important are they going to be this season?
Well, the latter, I'll take the latter first, and we can sort of tip a cap to the Kansas City Royals and their World Series runs of 2014 and 2015 for really popularizing that. But even, Joe, even the Royals would tell you at that time, hey, if we had starting pitchers, I'm not sure we would have done this. We kind of just stumbled into it. But it's absolutely something to factor into the handicapping. Which teams are built for that? Obviously, the Yankees leap off the page, and they have a pretty good starting rotation. There's, you know, but if you get through six innings, you should be good to go. And there's a number of teams that have followed that model, and you definitely have to be aware of that. There's some that still do it the old-fashioned way. The postseason, that's absolutely how teams can manage it. But through a 162-game schedule, you really do have to be aware of what teams will go with that strategy. And then the juice ball, I was talking about this over the weekend while watching March Madness, coincidentally. Do you expect, does any of us expect that the juice ball will continue from day one? None of us really know the answer to that until we actually see games in play. You absolutely have to be aware of that, and with that comes ballpark factor. Which are the ballparks where that means the most, and which are the ballparks, like at AT&T Park, for instance, in San Francisco, where that won't mean nearly as much? All of that is into the mix.
All right, we both mentioned the Yankees, currently with a season win total of 94.5 games, World Series odds as low as 6-1. What do you make of the Bombers this year? They are absolutely loaded, but are they as good as the odds indicate?
They're absolutely loaded. 94.5 is a lot of wins, though, Joe. It's a lot of games to win. And you know, here's the thing with the season win totals pool. There are 2,430 possible wins. 30 teams, 162 games. When you do the math, it's 2,430. All of the season wins, wherever you go in Vegas, offshore, wherever, they're always shaded higher. So if you add them all up, they're all going to be 2,440-ish, somewhere in there. So if you go on a over spree of win totals, that's probably not the way to go. Under's probably the way to look on a lot of these teams. And when it comes to a 94.5 win team in the Bronx, a lot of Yankees fans aren't going to like this. I would go under. I think there's going to be a lot of good betting value against the Yankees on a day-to-day basis, because that's the other thing. The game-to-game prices are not often in line with what a season win totals number would make them on average. And so I think on a day-to-day basis, we're going to get a lot of value betting against the Yankees. But as far as 94.5, if you're giving me one of the teams that are up top with a high win total, the only one that I'm inclined to go over on, a much more, I think, balanced Dodgers team with less weakness, I'd go over 95.5 on them before I'd go over on the Yankees. I would lean under on the Yanks.
The team the Dodgers lost to in the World Series last year, the Houston Astros, sitting 97.5 with 5-1 odds. We saw what happened to the Cubs coming off their World Series win, perhaps enjoyed it a bit much and didn't come back as strong the following season. Do you see the same pitfalls befalling the Houston Astros?
Yeah, I think that offense is unassailably great, and I don't think there's anything that's going to go down there. I do think there are questions with the pitching staff. I mean, beyond Dallas Keuchel, and even in some respects Dallas Keuchel, some of those guys had some stretches last year where they were not as great as you would have them, as you would believe them to be, just if you hear the mainstream narrative on them. Keuchel had a swoon. Colin McHugh certainly had a swoon. What are we going to get from Gerrit Cole? Listen, I'm not making a play on the season win totals on the Astros, but I'm certainly not going over on it because I do think there are question marks with that pitching staff.
Always have to ask about the Chicago team, specifically the Cubbies. 93.5 World Series odds of 7-1. You know how this podcast game works. Somehow you stumble into pockets of great fans, and I have like this huge listenership in Chicago. It's really just uncanny.
Interesting.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm bigger in Chicago than I am in San Francisco, which is where I live, or in Philadelphia, which is where I'm from. So, shout out Chicago. What do you make, Gil, of these Chicago teams this year?
Well, the White Sox are not going to be that great at baseball, but I think they'll be better than they were last year. It's a low season win total on the Chicago White Sox. I think going under on them would probably not be the way to go. It's not a mechanical over. I used to say that about teams that are in their mid-60s in the wins, that typically just mechanically you can do well by betting over, because even the worst teams in Major League Baseball history tend to win over 60 games. So if you get a 64-65, you go over. White Sox are higher than that, but I'd still go over on the White Sox. By the way, I will not go higher. I will not go over mechanically on the Miami Marlins. That's an exception. That's a whole other story. Cubbies, listen, I think the St. Louis Cardinals are a sneaky, sneaky play of all division odds. I think the Cardinals are 1-5 in that starting rotation. Really, really good. Maybe the best 1-5 in all of baseball. I don't think they have a weakness in their lineup. Not necessarily great everywhere, but always average or better up and down the lineup. I do think, though, that it's a mano a mano between the Cubbies and the Cardinals this year in the NL Central, because I think the Pirates are going to be a disaster, and Pittsburgh fans know that. The Brewers I am bearish on. I am not as high on the Brewers as other people are. Who am I forgetting there, Joe?
The Reds.
The Reds, of course. I think the Reds will be better than their season win total, but still they're not going to flirt with 500. I think the issue with the Cubs for me is John Lester at the top of that. I don't know if he has solved the issue with base runners. There is some reason to believe that his component stats, there's little cause for concern. Kyle Hendricks is always a guy with very little margin for error as a number two. So for me, it's an under or nothing on the Cubbies because I think the Cardinals, of all non-division favorites, they're the live dog.
Giants at 83 wins. Oakland A's sitting around 75.5. Every year since I've moved up here, I've called you and we've had a discussion about the Bay Area teams. And it feels like every year the metrics point to an A's over. They just haven't been able to get there the last couple of seasons due to some injuries, some struggles, and all around Oakland A type play. How do you see the Bay Area teams this season?
Well, I asked my buddy Paul Spohr today on the show, a numbers game at VSiN, what he thought of all division odds. Is there anybody out there that's not a favorite that is a sneaky long shot play? And I couldn't believe it when he said the Oakland Athletics at 40-1 to win the NL West. I was shocked. The AL West. And the reason he said was very simple. I mentioned this just moments ago about the Cardinals lineup. The thing in baseball is you don't have to be great everywhere. If you're average or better everywhere, you're kind of really good. Great sentence, by the way, on my part, kind of really good. But you
he's a professional broadcaster, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you very much. But that's what he said about the Oakland Athletics. He said they're just average or better everywhere, and that's enough to be a contender if you really wanted to look at value in a betting line. And so 40-1 on the Athletics, he thought, and I'll just cede to him on this, that would be a very bullish take on the Oakland A's. So let's go with that. As far as the Giants, who are closer to my heart, and as you know, Joe, if you live in San Francisco, that city just becomes so great when the Giants are great. They get McCutcheon. They get Longoria. Those are the big splashes, but other free agent acquisitions as well. I don't know if that's the answer necessarily in the end, in a division that obviously has the Dodgers looming on top. But I'm not bullish on the Colorado Rockies like some others are, and I could do a whole Rockies dissertation for you if it ever interested you. But I think the Giants will be good. I worry about the reports I'm hearing on Mad Bum, and I don't know what you've heard, and I don't know how much of this is just spring training messing around or how much of this is real, but there is some buzz that Mad Bum doesn't have the velocity anymore. If that's the case, Joe, it doesn't matter who they sign. that's going to be a real ding on the Giants. So hopefully that's not the case. A lot will fall on their ace, Madison Bumgarner.
Damn, dude, opening day's next week. I can't go on the air here in the Bay Area with that type of information. These people will slit my throat, and they are a peaceful bunch.
They are a peaceful bunch, and I really, like my heart, you know, the old song, the Tony Bennett song, my heart is still in San Francisco, and I wish only the best for that franchise, which won 3 World Series in 5 years, and it is, with apologies to 2016, it is an even year, Joe, so you never know.
A couple questions before we let you go. Number one, I don't want to find out all of your favorite plays this year because you put in a lot of hard work on that, but if you were to steer us in the direction of maybe one season win total play you liked, which direction might you point us?
Well, I would have, if we had done this a month ago, I would have said the Kansas City Royals because I got them under at 76.5. That number is now 67.5.
Whoa, just, that's a great buy for you, my friend.
Yeah, so it looked like a middle opportunity for me, but I can't obviously give that out here.
Yeah, that's not going to count here.
For me, I'm going to go Rockies, who I alluded to before. I'm going to go Rockies under. Last year, I was correct. They were one of my season win totals that I recommended at VSiN in my baseball manifesto. I went over, and it hit. But then I had to ask myself, and you have to be honest with yourself as a handicapper, did that hit because I was right in my handicap, or did that hit because I was just probably more fortunate than smart? And I think it's the latter, that I was more fortunate than
smart. That is such a baseball way of looking at things.
We are very logical thinkers. Yeah, I mean, I think that's the case, right? If I look back on it, I'm like, all right, look, what did I get right? I got right that I thought that the Rockies brass got it, that they should tailor their arms now, the skill sets of their pitchers, to their ballpark, Coors Field, which is the biggest prairie, the widest dimensions of any ballpark in baseball, even wider than that of AT&T. And so they got that right, and John Gray was every bit that they wanted him to be. So that part I got right. But everything else, the pitchers that ended up pitching well for the Rockies, none of us could have anticipated the Sensatellas and the Marquezes of the world. And these guys really, with smoke and mirrors, Freeland and Hoffman, they just outperformed their component stats in so many ways. And so when I look at that rotation again this year, it's not sustainable. There's just too many metrics, whether it's the weighted on base against when they leave Coors. That's the real thing with the Rockies, is that the quality of that offense, we think of their, first of all, the pitchers are going to be kryptonite because they're just overperformed last year. But the quality of that offense, we think of the Rockies' offense as being great. It really is a home-road split that still is a thing. It exists. These guys are not nearly as good. They're bottom half of the NL when you look at weighted on base offensively. Sure, Arenado is going to be great. But when you look at these guys collectively as an offense, they don't produce nearly the same amount of runs on the road adjusted. And that is a thing of concern. And I think when you look at some of the things we talked about at the outset, they overperformed their base runs by 5 wins last year to get to 87. They were 21-14 in one-run games last year. You got to think that might come back a little bit. And in the end, pitch framing also, something that has plagued the Rockies organization for so many years, they cannot get that solved, and their answer was to get Chris Iannetta, who had a good year pitch framing last year, but really in his whole career has only had 2 good pitch framing years, cost his team 50.4 runs in bad pitch framing over a 4-year span just before that. So that's not the answer. To me, when you look at the Rockies at 81.5, I believe it is right now, I hate to say it, but it's an under. And then there's the extra thing, and I'll close it on this. There's the extra thing with the trade deadline. You always have to consider that when considering season win totals. And I think in LeMahieu and Blackman, if this team is not good at that point, those guys might be on the block.
Great point. Final question. Do you play any Cy Young or MVP futures? Anyone you would look to in that market?
I don't typically, but I will say that Carlos Martinez is 20-1 in the NL. I think there's value there, and I know there's Kershaw, and I know there's Scherzer, and I know that's what you got to overcome. But that would be the value play. Carlos Martinez is a bona fide ace prism whatsoever. He's just fabulous. Don't really like much value in the AL, but that's the one in the Cy Young at 20-1. I like that. I do like some, not necessarily an MVP, but if people can find over-under on hits, the Jose Altuve, Nolan Arenado, and Francisco Lindor hit totals are so egregiously low that those are overs, and what you really are is betting against health. You're betting for health at that point, just hoping they don't get injured.
Tell me about the Baseball Manifesto. When's it come out? Where can people find it? What goes into it? Give me the rundown there.
Baseball Manifesto is what I do yearly for VSiN. It's in Point Spread Weekly this year. For those who are familiar with the Vegas Stats and Information Network, that's their weekly digital magazine. And so what I do there is I just talk about season win totals, much of what I've discussed with you today. I give my three best season win totals of the year as well as my one future. And just get nerdy, man. You know, we love football. We love March Madness, and that is phenomenal. But this is what separates the men from the boys, Joe, where everybody else goes and spends time with their families. It's just me and you in a sports book. That's all we do.
Many a beer I've had with you in Vegas chasing down some of these first five innings wagers, and they're some of my fondest memories from living in the city. You can catch him on Twitter at Beating the Book. He's a host of the show A Numbers Game on the Vegas Stats and Information Network. You can also catch him on the Beating the Book podcast. Gil Alexander joining us here on the Sharp 600. What can I say, my man? It's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Joe, thank you. You're a mensch.
You put snot on the ball?
Damn. Potential velocity issues with Madison Bumgarner's famous left arm. If that turns out to be the case, that is going to be horrific news for the orange and black here in San Francisco. Definitely something worth keeping an eye on as we move forward, as is the Carlos Martinez 20-1 price to win the NL Cy Young. Insider trading alert, I was actually firing on that as Gil was telling me. That's the type of stuff that happens behind the scenes on the Sharp 600. But speaking to Gil Alexander, shout out to him. Always a treat to have him on. He is one of the absolute best in the business. Be sure to check him out on Twitter at Beating the Book so you can follow all of his fine work. And a big thank you to all of you for continuing to support this project. If you haven't done so already, please subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. We'll be back later in the week to take a look at the Sweet 16 and the Elite 8 as it pertains to March Madness. But for right now, be well, everyone, and best of luck.